The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Kof Gimal. Today's daf is being studied for the Hatzlacha of Yosef ben Sarah and his family, donated by Anonymous. May Hashem bless Yosef ben Sarah and his family with osher v'chavod, hatzlacha u'briut, v'chol milid demetav. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Hacham Abraham Za'afrani ben Latifa. Ruach Hashem tanihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied le'ilu nishmat Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tanihenu b'gan Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf Bet Amud Bet. Yesterday, three lines from the bottom. Yesterday's daf, we learned as a hiluk between when we talk an ampulia, which we learned is like a sock. We said there's a difference between a leather sock and a cloth sock. Like the bed, the mitzvah of halitza. So we said when it comes to a leather sock, so then already one can fulfill the mitzvah of halitza. It's considered like a shoe. However, when it's a cloth sock, so one cannot fulfill the mitzvah. We brought ayot for this. So the Gemara says that this was Rava's answer. So the Gemara says, Tanya kivatet Rava, we have a braita to support Rava. The braita says, Chalitza b'min'al ha'nifram. If let's say a person made chalitza with a shoe that was nifram, which means it was torn, the upper part of it was torn, shechofet rova regel, but still the shoe is covering the majority of the foot, or b'sandal ha'nifhat, a sandal that part of the shoe was missing, the piece of the leather, but still shemekabel etrovaregen, but still the majority of the foot is able to still fit in the sandal. The Mefarshim point out that since by the min'al it's soft leather, so the word nifram is more fitting. However, by a sandal where it's hard leather, so therefore it's more fitting the word nifhat. It was diminished. In any event, b'sandal shil sha'am v'shil siv. If let's say you have the sandal, it's not made out of leather, but it's made out of sha'am shil siv. That's a type of, let's say, grass. It was a type of weed that used to grow around the bottom of the trees, and they used to make begadim out of them. And these items over here are hard, they're tough, and therefore they protect the foot. Bekav akiteya. Ketav Kiteya is talking about bar minan, if somebody's foot, let's say, got cut. So they made like a wooden shoe they put on the stump of his foot over there. It's called Kav Hakiteya. Bemok. What is Bemok? That's also a type of shoe that's made out of felt. Bismichat Haraglayim. Bismichat Haraglayim is, they have a certain type of simicha, is a crutch that they made out of wood or leather, and they do that for, let's say, somebody that cannot use his legs, so he uses his hands, let's say, to walk. You know, he supports himself with his hands, so they put like this type of leather on the bottom of his foot, because his feet drag. So therefore they put this type of item on the bottom of his feet as he's walking, but usually using his hands. It's called simichat haraglayim. Be'anpilya shel or. Or let's say it's the sock that's made out of leather. Va'choletzet min agadol. The person's, let's say, making chalitza from the lady's making chalitza from a gadol. Ben Omed, whether he's standing, Ben Yoshev, whether he's sitting, Ben Mota, whether he's leaning on his side, we're going to say in all these cases the halitza is going to be kishera. We have one more. V'acholetzet menasomeh, or halitza that's done from a blind man, halitzata kishera. In all those cases, the halitza is kishera. Now, just on the last two cases, we have to get a little reasoning. What would the Hiddush be over Ben Omed, Ben Yosef, Ben Mota? Well, really, I would think that Halitza really has to be done standing. The Mefarshim explained that because it's compared to Gemar Din. Gemar Din is like the final judgment. And just like in court, at the time of the Gemar Din, everybody has to be standing. So you might have thought, and that's why the Chetayla really by Halitza also, everybody has to be standing. However, but the Avad, the Hadush of the Bright, if they were sitting or they were leading, it'll be okay as well. Regarding Someh, why a blind man can make a chalitza, why would I think not? Because I would think that maybe he has to see the spit, because she has to spit in front of him. So if somebody's not able to see the spit, maybe it cannot be a yutze chalitza. Kamash plan the brighter, the bidi'avad, it is also okay. In any event, what do you see in the beginning of this brighta? That in Ampunya, the sock that's made out of leather, the deen is what? Keshera, aval b'minal hanifram, in a type of shoe that was torn, she'en chofe et rov haregel, it's not covering the majority of the leg, b'sandal hanifrat, the sandal that was lacking, diminished, she'en mekabel et rov haregel, does not receive the majority of the foot, u'b'smichat hayadayim, smichat hayadayim is that sometimes when a person would let's say use his hands, let's say to thrust himself, they would put like pads on the hands itself to rest his hands on the ground. So that's called simichat yadayim uba anpilia shebeged, or an anpilia of a sock made out of cloth. The choletzet min hakatan, or let's say a halitza that was done by a katan, halitzata pesula. So in all those cases over there, the halitza is indeed pesula. But you see a bright that makes a haluk between anpulya shel or anpulya shel beged. Comes the Mishnah, comes the Gemara now and analyzes the bright. One of the cases of the bright was kaba kiteya. We said that what? That you have this wooden shoe, let's say, that the kiteya wears, that the person that has his legs cut off wears. So we said that's considered a good halitza, that wooden shoe. So Gemara says, Mani, who must be the author of this bright? Rabbi Meiri, Ditna, Hakiteya yotze bekav shelo devre Rabbi Meir, which means clearly it says the kiteya, the one that's legs are cut off, is yotze on Shabbat. He's allowed to go out on Shabbat with that kav, with that shoe that he wears, which means it's considered a shoe. Just on Shabbat, you would not be allowed to wear it if it was considered carrying. But if you could, the Bibi is saying you're allowed to wear it. Mashma what? Considered a shoe. So therefore, the Gemara says, that must be the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that says a wooden shoe is considered a shoe. Rabbi Yosef Oser. But Rabbi Yosef says, it is indeed Asur. So we see that what? According to Rabbi Meir, the kav that the kiteya wears is considered a na'al legabe Shabbat nefuwad din inyan halitza. The Gemara says, be'an palya shel beged. However, when the Braita said, an palya shel beged is no good, atan rabbanat, that must be going like the rabbis, not like Rabbi Meir. Because you see, Rabbi Meir, obviously you don't need leather. The fact that he allowed the wooden shoe of the kiteya, so seemingly he would also allow an anpilya of cloth. But from the fact that the Gemara Baraita says Ampilya Shabbat is Pasul, so it must be that the Sefa of the Baraita is going like Rabbanan, that argue on the Bimir. So it's a strange Baraita. And the Resha is Rabbi Meir, the Sefa is Rabbanan. So Amar Abayim, with the Sefa Rabbanan, Resha Namir Rabbanan. But the fact that he tell me that the Sefa, by the case of the Ampilya Shabbat is Rabbanan, must be the Resha by the Kaab of the Kiteh is Rabbanan. Oh, but they see you can only use leather. So the Gemara says, "Veresha b'mechupa." Or it's talking about the kiteya, that shoe that the kiteya was wearing is covered in leather, which means it's a wooden bottom, but it's covered in leather. It's surrounded in leather. I think it's considered a leather shoe. Amale Rava, aval en mechupa. Or, but if let's say it wasn't covered in leather, my pasul. So what? It's pasul. If that's the case, adetari sefa ben. So what did you have to give me a new case of a Pilyashel Beged? Liflog bedida. You could have gave the same chiluk in the kav and say, but me devarim amurim b'mechupa or aval and b'mechupa or pasul. Which is, why did you have to give a chiluk when it came to Ampilya between leather and non-leather? Keep the case of kiteya, the kav of the kiteya, and make the chiluk between. between if it's covered in leather or not covered in leather. Now, why is it better to give me the Hiluk in this case over here? Because a calf is more of a shoe, because it's more sturdy of a shoe. So the Hidush would mean that even a calf that's more sturdy of a shoe, if it's not covered in leather, it's going to be Pasul. Why did you have to go give me the Hiluk by and Piliya to tell me the difference between leather and not leather? Give me the Hiluk in a bigger Hidush in the case of calf. Ela marava midirisha Rabbi Meir sifan amir Rabbi Meir. Go the other way. I'll tell the Risha of the Brayta Rabbi Meir that says what? Kavak itetz, what a regular wooden shoe is going to be kashir because he says you don't need leather. Oh, and the sefa is also Rabbi Meir. The question is, according to Rabbi Meir, if you don't need leather, why then is the anpilya shil beged pasul? So Gemara says, hi magin ve'ay lo magin, because the difference is it doesn't shield the foot, which means it's a soft like a sock, and therefore even though he holds you don't have to have leather per se, but it's got to protect the foot. So therefore, since the anpilya shil beged doesn't protect the foot, it's not going to be good for a halitza. Amar Amemor, Amemor continues and says, hi man de chalitz, a person that's making the chalitza, sarich limit chasya likar'e, he has to press his foot down in the shoe on the ground. Now she says l'tchof reglo bekarka. The reason why they want this, the person's shoe is on good, so she'll fulfill the mitzvah of taking off the shoe. So they said to press his foot down on the ground. Amale Rav Asher Amemor. What do you mean? But we learned just now in the Braita, Vatanya bin Omed, bin Yosef, bin Mota. We said you can do the halitza standing. Okay, standing, we understand. His foot's on the ground. Bin Yosef. Okay, even sitting, you could say his feet are still touching the ground, but bin Mota is he's on his side. How does he have his feet on the ground? So the Gemara says, Ema ul olam de dahis de kara'e, which means
puts on the ground.
Make sure that even in the case where he's mota, it's got to be in a way where his feet are on the ground. Otherwise, it's not going to be good. So you're going to have to add that stipulation to the braita. Kavz Gebran says, ואמר הממור, איימן דמסגה על ליחתה דקראה לא חליץ. רשי, על ליחתה דקראה, שרגלו הפוך. She's better than a person, let's say, his feet are inverted. ודורס בעליונו של רגל. Which means his foot is actually upside down, which means instead of walking on the bottom of his feet, which is normal feet, up the heel, his foot is turned upside down, therefore he walks on the top of the foot. That she says, Lihata lashon luhim, planka, klomar she'eno dores pimkom midras raglo, which is he does not walk on the normal place where people tread. Even though we learned in the Mishnah that from the knee down it's considered kasher if you made a chalitza, which means he still has the normal shock, he has, let's say, the shin over there, the leg. And we learned me'al even above the leg, but here it's like considered regel bechlal, because the regel is inverted. So Kavz Gebran says again, hi man, the masgeh, person that walks, ali hata, he walks on the literally the plank, the kar'e of his foot, lo halitz cannot make halitza, because it's not considered that he has a regel. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Rav Asher Amemor, Ve'atanya, we learned in the Braita above, Simuchot haraglayim. We learned what are those supports, let's say they put on the leg when a person uses his hands, let's say, to support himself. So they put simichot on the raglayim. So the Gemara is understanding, lav de chalitz ba ihu. We're assuming that why does he have these simichot on his raglayim? Why does he need his hands to support him? Because his legs are inverted. And we're saying what? That those simichot that you take off the Yavam's the legs, it's considered a good halitza. Oh, so even though his feet are inverted, so you see it's okay. So the Gemara says, no, diyahiv le leacher vechalitz. It's not true about where he made the halitza. He's not making the halitza. He's not bar halitza. He doesn't have legs. It's talking about where somebody else used those simichot. Somebody that has legs used the simichot of this guy for halitza. It's going to be kasher. But he himself cannot use them, as we said, because his legs are not considered legs. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Ashi, Lemay dekamar amemor. According to what amemor said, that the person's legs are inverted, economic chalitza, lav bar uba chalitz, bar uba would not be subject to chalitz, velav bar kiputz chalitz. And the fellow by the name of bar kiputz cannot make chalitza. We learned these two fellows in Mu'ed Katan that they eulogized one of the rabbis, and Rav Ashi was makpid on them. And since Rav Ashi was makpid, so their feet became inverted, and therefore he's saying, guys like this, their feet are inverted, they cannot be subject to the mitzvah of halitza. Comes the Gemara and continues. That's the Gemara word katan and daf chaf. Comes the Gemara and says, "Min arkuba unmata." So we said, "What if a person makes chalitza from the knee down? So already the chalitza is considered good." Unmini, we have a question. It says in the pasuk regalim, right? Shalosh regalim b'shana, that on the three holidays people have to go up to Yerushalayim. So the fact that Torah used the word regalim, which is like reglayim, they learn prat ba'ale kabin. It's coming to exclude somebody that doesn't have legs. To the exclusion of Baale Kabin. And therefore, what is that mashma? So that she says, Shepeturim in a de'iyah. They're patur from the mitzvah of going up to Yerushalayim. Alma shok lav regelu. Which is, even though he only has a shok, he only has, let's say, the leg, but that's not considered a regel. And that's why it's patur. But here we're saying, what? Like a behalitza. The shok is considered a regel. It's considered a shariyaka dichtif me'al raglo. The pasuk says of Eba Halitza, not only is regel, but it says me'al raglo, even upper. The part that's upper foot. And therefore, the upper foot is considered the shok. And therefore, it's okay. Which is by the shalosh legalim, it's got to be the regel itself. And if it says have a regel, he's patur. Mashiach says me'al raglo, from what's above his regel, if it's okay. Kemara says, if that's the case, le'ma'ala min arkuba nameh. So what'd you make the cutoff point the knee for? Even above the arkuba, it's also me'al raglo. Kemara says, no, me'al is good. Ve'lo me'al the me'al, but not me'al, which is not double, which is, this is already above the foot and above the knee. That's already twice me'al. I only have once. It's because I'm a rapapa, so the papa learned from here. Shema mina, we can learn from here that what? Hai istaviva. That's the place that connects the shok to the regel. What would they call that? Have a word for that?
Ankle.
That what they call it?
Ankle.
Okay, so the ankle. Yeah, that's the place that connects the leg and the shok. Okay, makes sense. Karsul, in Hebrew it's karsul, so it's an ankle. Ad ar'a nahit. They want to say that the ankle bone must go down all the way down to the leg. Why? The east on kadatak mifsak pasik. Because if you want to say it separates, if you want to say there's a leg and there's an ankle and then there's the shok, so then already the shok would be considered me'al de me'al. So must we have to say that the ankle bone goes all the way down to the leg, and therefore that's considered heel, and therefore it's considered one, and therefore the shok is considered me'al raglo. So the Gemara says that the east, like the mifsek matzik, we're going to say that it's mifsek matzik, it separates between the regel and the shok. Havelei me'al, so then the ankle would be considered me'al raglo, the shoka and the shok would be considered me'al the me'al. So therefore it must be the ankle bone goes all the way, that is considered part of the regel. Amar Rav Ashi, afilu temem misak masik, if you want to say that it's separate, still it's okay. Kol de bahadeh kar'a ke kar'a dameh, which means anything that's on the same plane as, let's say, kafa regel is considered like the regel, which means the back of the ankle is on the same area, we'll say, as, let's say, as the regel itself. So even though it's, let's say, separate, doesn't go all the way down, but it's considered kafa regel. That's all considered part of the regel itself. So if it's ankle and regel is one, and then you have me'ah, that would be considered the shok. So therefore it's considered part of the regel itself. Comes the Gemara continues, min arkuba ulmala. We said, what? From the knee and up. Mativ Rav Kana, which means above the knee already is not considered a halitza. So the Gemara is going to ask some questions. One pasuk says, "Ubishliyata ayotzet mibein raglea." This is talking about, let's say, it says a lady. This is the kedalot. It says a lady's embryo is going to come from between her legs, raglea. Now that's calling. Where does the baby come out from? The thigh, and it's calling the thigh already raglea. Oh, so you see why you tell me above the knee? Above the knee should also be considered the subject of halitza. Raglea, it says, about a bayeh, b'sha'ah shekorah atlileh, that when a lady is crouching in order to give birth, no'etzet pakbea b'yarkotea. So she thrusts her heel in her yerech, by her thigh, v'yonedet. So therefore, really, with the way she's sitting, it's like her heel is part of the thigh. When she's leaning over to give birth, or lying back to give birth, she thrusts her leg inside. So therefore, really, the baby is coming out and bending like that, because her ekev, her heel is over there. So it's not about the thigh. It's talking about the ankle itself. Tashema lo asa raglav velo asa sefamo. Now this pasuk literally means over here, he did not remove his the sa'ar of the zakan hatahton. That's talking about he did not remove the hair in the lower hair in the private area. So it says lo asar aglav. It's calling the hair in the private area, which is by the thigh. It's calling it aglav. But lo asar sefamo, he did not let his he did not shave his mustache. That's talking about mefiboshet. So the Gemara says l'shna me'alya. The Torah is just using a nice language. It doesn't want to say that area, so it says lo asar aglo. But it really is not considered a regel. Tashema v'yavo Shaul hasechet raglav. So it says when Shaul went to relieve himself. So it says la'asechet raglav. It's calling that area over here raglav. But it says l'shna me'ali. Again, it's nice lashon. Tashema ach masichu raglav b'cheder amikira. That was talking about Eglon Melech Moab. When Ehud killed Eglon Melech Moab, so the people on the outside didn't realize that he was dead, so they thought he was relieving himself. So they said, he's inside masichu raglav. So, but you see what? They're calling the area of the thigh raglav. Again, the Gemara says that's just a nice way of saying it. Ben ragleha, that was by Ya'el. When Ya'el went with Sisera, Sisera was one of the generals of Aram. And Ya'el killed Sisera, but before he killed him, she killed him, she tired him out by consecutive bi'ot. So it says, ben ragleha. He was bending like that's by her thigh. But really the thigh is, so you're calling the thigh again. Again, that's a lashon. It's a nice lashon. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Sheva be'ilot ba'al oto rasha be'oto hayom. Sisera had seven bi'ot with Ya'el on that day. Shne'emar, ben raglea kara, nafal, shachav, ben raglea kara, nafal, ba'asher kara, sham nafal. So therefore, seven times it says kara, nafal, which is lashon of bi'ah, this pasuk. So therefore, Ya'el had seven bi'ah with Sisera. So the Gemara says, ba'asher kara, sham nafal, shedud. And then he fell over there. So the Gemara says, what's the meaning? Ve'akam mitanya me'avera. So what are you talking? But she's having hana'a from the Avera, which she's having a pleasure, which means the Gemara's question over here is not necessarily that she made a avon, because really the Gemara says in a different place that Ya'el is considered karka odam. She was just lying. She wasn't doing a maaseh. She was passive. She's like the ground. So what's the Gemara's question that she's having now? Because the Gemara says kedola avera lishma yoter mitzvah. She's greater as a sin that's done lishma than a mitzvah that's done shelo lishma. So the Gemara says, who's a classic case of avera lishma? Ya'el, that she did this over here in Lashem Shamayim in order to kill Sisera. So the Gemara is just asking, how could you say that it's considered gedola avera lishma? Bottom line, she's having hana'a from a sin. Would the Gemara entertain to say it's gedola? It's a great thing if she's having hana'a from a sin. Right. So, because the Gemara says,
Amar Yohanan Mishum Bishwa Min Yochai Kol Tovatan Shel Reshain La'ai Etzel Tzadikim, which means all the benefits that the Rishayim give to the Tzadikim is considered not a benefit. It's not considered Hana'ah. Now she says, Shisun'in Rishayim. The Tzadikim hate the Rishayim, Ve'katsa nefes Tzadik Ba'na'atam. They're repulsed by any Hana'ah that the Rasha would offer. Hilkach lav Hana'ah. It's not considered Hana'ah. So the Gemara says, Shneimar, how do you know that the Tzadikim are repulsed by the Rishayim? They don't receive Hana'ah. Shneimar, Rishayim edecha pentedaberim Yaakov mitov ve'adra. God tells Lavan, make sure you don't, I'm warning you, don't talk to Yaakov, not good, not bad. I understand why God doesn't want Lavan to say anything bad. Okay, we understand, he's protecting the Tzaddik. Elatov amaylo. Why is God telling him, I don't even want you to speak to him anything good? Elashma'a mina tovatat shu reshaim ra'ahi etzat tzaddikim. Because even the good, the pleasure that the Rishayim try to give the Tzaddikim, it's bad for them. They have no Hana'ah. So therefore you see what? The same thing by Ya'ayot, she didn't have any pleasure. There's a difference. Bishlamatam. We understand over there by Lavan, Dilma mitkal leshema davodat kuchavim. Because we were concerned that what? That it's going to be considered bad, because maybe he's going to mention, let's say, the name of Avodat Kuchavim. Like he told him, Lama ganapta et Elohai. You know, why did you steal my gods? So even when he was talking to him nicely, but still it's Ra'ah, because see, he's mentioning his Avodat Zarah. So that's why it's Ra'ah. Mashiachin over here. Over here, she's having pleasure from a bia. Kabbalah says, "Elahacha, my ra'ika." So, what's the ra'ah that? So, I answered the ra'ah by Yaakov was what that Lavan's going to mention the name of his avodah zarah. But what's the ra'ah over here? So, the Kabbalah says, "Dekashade ba zohama," which means because the sha'im, the goyim, that happened them zohama. A certain impurity. And therefore that impurity, Sisera is going to inject in Ya'il. So how can you say it's Hana'ah? It's not Hana'ah at all. She's repulsed by this Tum'ah that's going to come into us. So therefore, she did not have a Hana'ah. Comes the Gemara and says, Damar b'Yohanan, b'sha'a sheba nachash al Chava in Gan Eden, when the Nachash was with Chava, hitil ba zuhama. So what happened? He injected into Chava a certain type of zuhama. It's like a poison, a tuma. Yisrael she'amdu al Har Sinai paska zuhamatan. And when the Jewish people went to Har Sinai, that zuhama was taken away from them. Of the kochavim shelo amdu ba'al Sinai, but the goyim that did not stand at Sinai, lo paska zohamatan. That tumah is still in them. Therefore, Sisera went with Ya'el. So there's no hana'ah, because she's getting that zohamah of the goy. So therefore, the Gemara has no problem. There is no hana'ah. Chalitza b'menahal she'enu shelo. We said in the Mishnah that if a person made chalitza with a shoe that does not belong to him, the chalitza is kashera. Tanu rabbanan na'alo. It says in the pasuk his shoe. Any La na'alo, that teaches me his shoe. Na'al shel kol adam minayin. How do you know you can even use somebody else's shoe? Tamudomar na'al mikol makom. Because it says the word na'al a few times in the parasha, so it comes and tells me any shoe. Imken matamudomar na'alo. So why does it say na'alo then? So it says na'alo hara'uilo. It means a shoe that's his, meaning that's his size that fits him. Prat legadol she'en yachol la'aloch bo. Trees that say it's a big shoe they wouldn't be able to walk in it, uprat the katar, or a small shoe she'enu chofeh rov reglo, that cannot cover the majority of his foot, uprat the sandal hamsulayim she'enu akev, a certain type of sandal that they would call it the sandal hamsulayim, that's the name of the shoe, she'enu akev, doesn't have a heel, doesn't have a bottom, so it doesn't protect the foot, and therefore it's not considered a shoe. Abaye hava ka'e kamed Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye was in front of Rabbi Yosef. Ata yibama lachlotz. Okay, so yibama came to make chalitza. Amar le. So Rabbi Yosef tells Abaye, have le sandelach. Give me your sandal. We need chalitza. Rabbi Yosef telling Abaye, give me your sandal so we can make the chalitza. Yaiv le sandela dismola. So he gave him his left sandal. Amale, so Rabbi Yosef says, "Imar de amur rabbanan di'avad." Lekeptahila, mi amar. He doesn't want to be. We learned in the Mishnah that the left shoe is only bidi'avad. Lekeptahila, it's got to be the right shoe. So he said, what are you giving me your left shoe over here? So amar le, so Abaye tells him, Yosef, iyaches sandal shen shelo nameh. Even when you're asking me to use my sandal, that's also bidi'avad. Ima damur bidi'avad. Lekeptahila, mi amur. Right? So Rabbi's only said it's bidi'avad, it works. Not like a tahila. Which is Abaye was trying to tell Rabbi Yosef in a nice way that it's only bidi'avad. So he gave him his left shoe. So therefore Rabbi Yosef comes over and says, wait, though, left shoe is bidi'avad. He says, Rabbi, using somebody else's shoe is also bidi'avad. Amale, this is what I meant to tell you. Havle ve'aknila, which means give it to him and let him acquire it. Which is let him make a kinyan on the shoe, at least temporarily, so it'll be his. I'm not saying to give him your shoes per se, but you let him make a kinyan, and therefore it'll be his shoe, therefore it'll be even. Comes the Gemara and says, Sandal Shele'etz. So what do we say in the Mishnah? We said that if a person uses Sandal Shele'etz Halitzata, Keshera. Man Tana, who could be the author of such a statement? Amar Shemuel, the Bimiri. Has to be the Bimiri. That Nan, Hakiteya Yotze Bekav Shodr, the Bimiri. Like we said on Shabbat, Hakite can go out with this wooden shoe, because it's considered a Naal. The Biyose Oser. Biyose Oser. Abu Shemuel Omer, Bimchopa, or the Reakol, like we read above. Shemuel's father says, no, it's talking about a calf that's covered in leather, and therefore, even according to Rabbanan, it'll be Yotze, because everybody agrees that leather is a good shoe. So therefore, it's a machlokas. It's the Mishnah Dafka to be meters going according to everybody. Now, let's just give a little introduction to the next sugya. We're discussing over in the Nigei Begadim, different like types of tzara'at that manifests itself on Begadim. Let's say you have a beggar, a garment that say a nega was seen on it. So what they do is they seclude that garment for 7 days. At that point, the garment is called the beged hamsugar or hamusgar. It's separated for 7 days. And now, after the 7 days passes, the kohen comes and looks at the nega. If, let's say, it spread, it was bigger than it was, so then already they burned the beged immediately, and that's called the beged muhlat. That's already conclusive. It's clear that it's tameh. Now, if, let's say, the tzara'at did not spread, so then it just stayed, maintained its own level. So therefore the kohen holds it for another 7 days. And then after the next 7 days, if it still stayed the way it was, they burn it. However, if it got smaller, then already it can become tahor. So that's the difference between a musgar beged and a muhlat beged. So now the Gemara is going to analyze regarding the shoe of a chalitza, if it's one of these type of garments. Amar Rav Pepe Mishem Derava Sandal Hamusgar. So it's a musgar. I mean, he has a tzara'at on it. Quinn looked at it and secluded it for 7 days. Lo tahlotz bo. You cannot use it for the mitzvah of halitza. V'im halsa. But if he used it, halitzata keshera, the halitza is going to be keshera. Now the reason why it says lo tahlotz lechatechila is because you're going to see gezera. They don't want him to come to use a sandal muhlat. Now, what's the reason why a sandal muhlat is not good? Because since it has to be burnt, so it's considered it's not there. It doesn't have a shi'ur. And therefore, it's not a shi'ur, therefore you're not yotze. So the Rabbi Pepe said, Achei made a gezera on a sandal muzgar, add to a sandal muhlat. V'im chalsa chalitzata kesherah. B'diavad, it is kesher, because since you don't have to burn a musgar, it's considered a shoe, and therefore it's okay. A sandal muhlat, which means that's already after 7 days, let's say the tzara'a spread. So now the queen comes and looks at it, now he says it's conclusive. Lo ta'lot bo. V'im chalsa chalitzata pesula. Why? Because since it's omed li saref, since it's standing to be burnt, so kesaruf damen, we have the hachamim have a shita of that says katute mechtad shi'ure. Therefore, it's not considered a shoe that's covering the majority of the foot, even though physically it is. But since it's omed l'srefa, it's not considered that it's there. Therefore, it's not considered a shoe. Now, that's the papa shita. The papa mishemed rava amar echad sandal musgar ve'ad sandal muhlat lo tachlotz bo, meaning l'chetayla. She's a papa is lenient. He says that even a muhlat bidi'avad, the halitza is okay. The Gemara is going to explain later on, because you still see even a beged that's muhlat, the Torah calls it a beged. How can it be a bikkur? It's supposed to be saruf. And then you see, even though it's omedi saref, the Torah still calls it a bikkur. So comes the Gemara now and asks the question. Metive bayit hamusgar. What's bayit hamusgar? It's a house. A person has, let's say, a tzaraat in his house. And the Kohen went and looked at it, now made it, let's say, a musgar. He said, okay, we've got to wait 7 days and see what's going to be with it. So it says, mitameh mitocho, which means if someone, let's say, goes in the house and touches, let's say, the walls, so the walls are able to render him tameh. That's tumat magav. So even if, let's say, he didn't even enter underneath the roof of the house, he just took his hand, let's say, in the inside of the house and touches the inside walls, so maybe it's tumat magav. Muhlat, but if, let's say, the quake came back after 7 days and it spread and he made it the house of muhlat, then it says mitocho umeachorav. Then no matter what side of the wall he touches, whether even if he touches the outside of the wall of the house, is going to bring him tumah. Vezeh vezeh, which means both a bayit hamusgar and a bayit hamuchlat, metameim bebi'ah, which means even if he didn't touch anything, he just entered the house, so automatically is going to metameh, because they learn it from a pasuk that says ve'haba el bayit yitma ad ha'arid. Haba just comes into the comes into the house, he's going to be Tame comes again in the bright news. The east like Adatach, Kedemichatat Dame. If you're telling me that what a muhlat is considered as what if it's burnt and therefore doesn't have a shi'ur, Vahabaina and Vahaba elabayit veleka, which means it's not a bayit, it's considered burnt, and therefore how can you tell me ba elabayit? It's not a bayit. Because already when you tell me a mukhlat is considered not there, how can you tell me it's metameh bibi'ah? So comes the Gemara and says, Shani Atam, it's different. De'amar kira v'natat et abayit. Which is after it's a mukhlat, what do you have to do to the house? You gotta knock it down. So therefore, and the Torah still calls it a bayit. Shafilu b'shat netitza karui bayit. Even at the time of the netitza, it's called a bayit. And therefore, there the muhlat is still considered, it retains its shem. Therefore, it's not a question. Tashema, we have a b'raita, matlit. Matlit is a type of beged, let's say, that has a nega on it. Okay? Type of a cloth that has a nega on it. Sheyesh bo shalosh al shalosh. Which means, let's say it's 3 by 3 etzba'ot. Okay, it's a small beged. Afal pi she'en bo kezayit. Which means, let's say it does not, the size of the beged, of the weight of the beged, let's say does not measure to a kezayit. Rashi explains, for example, let's say the cloth itself is very thin, and therefore it's not a thick cloth, therefore it doesn't weigh the shoot of a kezayit. What's the din? Kevan shenichnas ruba lebayit tahor. Which means, let's say, the majority of this matlit entered a house that was tahor. Remember, this matlit has a nega on it. The majority of it entered a house, tim'atu. What happens? The whole house now becomes tameh, because a beged that's minuga by entering a house has the ability to metame the house. So the bride is saying, not only if the whole thing entered the house, it has three, it's about, but it's about. To me, it's what's considered the minimum shi'ur. The hadush is even if the majority of the beged entered the house, so now that house has a deen of tumah. So the Gemara analyzes, my love, muhletet. Must be we're talking about what type of beged was this over here. It's muhletet. But according to what you said, Rappape, the first shita, that a muhletet is considered katute mechtat, shi'urah, meaning it doesn't have a shi'ur. And therefore, you don't have a shi'ur.
Only 3 by 3 goes into the house.
Well, 3 by 3 didn't go in the house, because you only put in the majority of the beged. And therefore, if you're putting the majority of the beged in, you tell me it's chatutim mechtat, so you didn't have a shi'ur that went into the house. Again, the explanation of the Gemara is, if you have this garment that's 3 by 3, it's pa'ot, and the majority of it goes in, so the mefashim, as she's learning over here, that once the majority goes in, we consider it as if the entire garment went in. And the law is, if a garment of 3 by 3, it's pa'ot, went into a house that's ta'ot, and it has a sarat on it, it's going to be mitameh. Oh, so therefore the Gemara's question is, what do you mean? According to the papir that says chatute mechtat, that is considered burned. So how could you tell me that little minority that's outside is going to be considered in? Lechara's considered pulverized. Therefore, it's considered burnt. Therefore, you don't have the shiur. Now, from Rashi, it's mashma. If the whole bigot would be in the house, it would be okay. So the Mefarshim may ask a question. The Chaurat should make no difference. Even if the whole bacon went in the house, if it's considered chatutei mechtat shiur, you don't have a shiur, even in that case. The Maharsha comes along and says, must be that there's some gezirat katuv that comes along and wants to say that even if you want to say chatutei mechtat, but when the whole garment itself enters the house, the 3x3, it's still considered going to be able to be metameh. In any event, that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says, lo, muskeret. Who told you that this 3x3 is a muhletet? I'll tell you it's a muskar, and therefore there's no din of chatutei mechtat. Therefore, if the majority of the bigot went in, it's still around. I consider minority going after the majority. Therefore, it's considered 3x3 to enter. So Gemara says, yeah, if you're learning it's a muskar, ema sefa. I'll bring a question from the sefa. Hayuba kamazetim. So let's say the bacon itself is a heavy bacon. It's made up of, let's say, thick thread. Kevan shenichnas b'mena kizayit lebayit tahor, which is once the kizayit shiur of that garment enters a bayit tahor. So what's the din? Tema'atu. It makes the house tameh. Yamar pishtuma muhletet. If you want to say it's a muhlat, aynu de'itkash lemet. Which means a mesoram muhlat is compared to a met. Just like a met is metameh bekezayit, so to muhlat is going to be metameh bekezayit. However, ela yamat musgeret amayit kash lemet. But if it's a musgar, where'd you get this kezayit business? We don't have a hekesh between a muhlat and musgar and a met. So look at Rashi. I amat b'shlama muhletet, haynu demetame b'chezayit, afilu en kan beget shalosh. Why? Mishum demuhlat etkash lemet. Umet metame b'chezayit. Ve'echa etkash, where do we have this ekesh? Dechtiv anati kamet. Which means Aaron told Miriam, don't be like a met. Shemiriam musgeret avai, because at that point she was a musgar, right? She was her first 7 days. The kamale Aaron the Moshe anna tahlot shelot yekamet. Don't make her a muhlat, because then she's going to be like a met. So you see what? Mesoram muhlat is like a met, but a musgar is not. So how can you tell me over there if a kezai when it is going to become? Tameh, so Gemara says, do we have that Ela? Okay, the Bahaz that Girsa. Ela, Shaniatam, the Amar Kera, the Saraf etabegit. Afilu Bishat Serefa, Karui Begit. Which means I'll tell you that even at the time of the Serefa, it's called a Begit. And therefore, even if it's a Begit Muhlat, still, even if the majority went in the house, it's going to be mitame'ai. We said it's going to be burnt. Doesn't matter, but still it's called a beged. The Torah calls it a beged. So therefore, we consider it, it's there, and therefore it goes after the majority, and therefore it's going to be mitame'ai. So the question is then, why you learn from tum'at halitza? Which is, why did Rabbi say that a muhlat beged, a shoe, it cannot make chalitza because you got to burn it? What do you mean? But the Torah calls it a beged still. So therefore, it should be considered a shoe legabe chalitza. So the Gemara gives a rule: isur mitumah lo gamlinan. We don't learn the laws of isur from the laws of tumah, because the laws of tumah, as she says, is a hidush. Shelchot tumah hidushu. The whole thing is hidush. Why this year? Why this no? So you can't learn from a hidush to the cases of halitza. So even though the Torah calls it a beged the inyan tumah, it's not necessarily a beged the inyan halitza. Therefore, halitzata pesua kotra papeh. Amarava hilcheta echad sandal amuzgar. Whether it's a musgar, ve'achad sandal shemuchlat, whether it's muchlat, ve'achad sandal shel avodat kochavim. We had some cases now. That's a sandal, let's say they were wearing it in order to go, they were transporting the avodat zara, let's say, from one place to another place, and they were wearing these shoes, which is, it was serving the avodat zara. They were using it to serve the avodat zara, as they were moving it from place to place. Lo tahlots. In all these cases, they should not use it. teshuvim halza alitzata kishira b'di abad. It's okay. Now we understand. According to the muhlat, we can explain why. That I'll tell you, it's considered a bigot. Which according to this, I'll tell you, it's going to the papa, the second shita, that will learn the laws of isur from the laws of tumah. And since by the laws of tumah, it causes a bigot. So therefore, I'll say for the chalitza, it's considered a bigot. Fine. So that explains that. But what about the din of sadat shalavodat kochavim? So we have a rule over here that a sandal that was used to serve Avodah Zarah, like in this case over here, it's not Omed L'Avodah Zarah. It's not Omed L'Srefa. It's not really needed to be burnt, because Avodah Zarah, the Oved Kucharim can mevatel it. Which means if the Oved Kucharim, let's say, comes along and nullifies Avodah Zarah, it's considered nullified. So therefore, since in this case Omed, the Avodah Zarah could be nullified, so they weren't so machmir on a shoe that served the Avodah Zarah. And even though, let's say, he didn't mevatel it yet, it's okay. Because there's a takana, bibitus lefus like a sinichatutem mechtat shurim, which is that she's learning, even though the goy did not mevatel his Avodah Zarah yet, since he can mevatel it, the point is not considered that you have to burn it. And since you have to consider burning, consider a shoe, and therefore, lechatraila, don't use it because it's ma'us. But you want to use a shoe that would have any connection to Avodah Zarah. But with the avad, the shoe would be okay. However, shel takrovet avodat kukavim, which means, if let's say the shoe itself or the bag was considered, let's say, a gift to the Avodah Zarah, she now it's more like a korban to the Avodah Zarah, that's already on a higher level. Then the deen is, or Bishil Irani Dahat, that's a shoe that comes from a city that the majority of its inhabitants worship the Avodah Zarah. And what do you got to do to that city? You have to burn everything. Bishil Zakena Asui Lichbodo. Well, let's say there was a Tamir Akam, and they designated certain shoes that they're going to dress him at the time of the burial. When they bury him, the Chbodo, I guess before they bury him, they're going to put these shoes on him for the kavod of the mit. So the deen in these cases is lo tahlots. Again, that's the takrovet Avodah Zarah, irani da'at, and the shoe for the zakin. Do not make halitza with these shoes. V'im halsa halitzata pesula. Let's go one at a time. Because the korban for Avodah Zarah has to be burnt. That's different than a guy using something to serve Avodah Zarah. This is actually a korban to the Avodah Zarah. Since it has to be burnt, it's katutem mechtat shaura. Eira nidachat, all the property in the city has to be burnt. What about the shoe of the zakim? Because the deen is that only a shoe that's designated for walking purposes is considered a minahal. However, this is a shoe that chboda met. It doesn't walk on it. So therefore, it's not considered a shoe. Therefore, halitzata. Not used for walking. And if it's not considered a na'al or a sandal, which is, what they used to do in betin? Betin, it seems to have a designated shoe, that when somebody would come to make halitza, they would give the guy the shoe. But this shoe is also not made for walking. It's used for halitza. It's used for the ritual, for the ceremony. No. Amar leh. So Rav Asher tells him, ilu mazge b'shiluha de bedina, mi kapid ale dayana. Which means, if let's say the shaliah on the betin, one of the workers in the betin, right? He would want to wear the shoe. Would the betin be makpid? Why they're not going to be makpid on him, because it's really made for walking. But if somebody would wear this shoe that was designated for the mit, this is a kavod shoe, it's not a wearing shoe. So what's the difference? Even though you never wore it, let's say, for walking, but since there wouldn't be makpid if he would use it for walking, so therefore it's considered a na'al or a sandal. Mashiach, the one of the mit is not. Let's just read Rashi. Vishel Zaken, top line. Ha'asui lichbodo letechriche mita. Right? Use that as part of his shrouds. Hu'il velo lelucha abid. Since it's not for walking purposes, lav na'alu de bedina names. And that's your betinu miyachad lachalitza. It seems the betin used to have a designated shoe for the halitza. So the Gemara's answer is no. But that can potentially be used for walking. Nobody would be makpid. But shaken on the sandal of the zaken, there would be makpid if it was not considered a shoe. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen. Amen.